Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. The Earl had to go off to his son's graduation. That's an important thing to do. Sam, how are you?
I'm great, Sandy. Just the two of us now.
Absolutely. Can you tell people how they can text in or call?
Of course. Yeah, thanks for tuning in to the Earl Ingram Show here on 101 FM The Shaw, as well as 540 AM WAUK. And call or text here at 844-967-2789.
So we were talking before the break. I was trying to unbundle American exceptionalism. You know, and I don't want anyone to mistake the discussion for a notion that I don't think America is a fantastic country. It is, because every country has shortcomings associated with it. Some of the shortcomings in some places, Norway, which seems to be a nirvana, I suppose, has the problem of it being not a very diverse place. If you're in Norway, you'll basically spend a lot of time with Norwegians. And Europe does have the benefit of being a continent, at least the Western Europe, as a continent in which the countries were formed based on ethnicities and sort of the purified ethnicities of sharing a language, sharing a culture, sharing an ethnicity. That's what the French are. That's what the Germans are. So, I mean, our country's different. We're a melting pot. We have a lot of circumstances that make the governance of our country different and maybe more difficult. But to me, that's an enrichment. We have this melting pot. It's a fantastic circumstance to live in. The ability to be on the radio fearlessly, to talk about anything we want to talk about, to try and look at our circumstance objectively is a wonderful opportunity. But in terms of our culture right now, I think that we have something that we need to talk about in our socio-political system, and that is that we've seemed to embrace and have embraced for quite a while a concept of American exceptionalism that causes us to be blind to the ways in which we aren't achieving our full potential. You know, the potential of this country is unbelievable. We have natural resources unlike any other country in the world. We have a big geography that is rich with natural resources. We have a system developed, a financial system and a political system that supports business development unlike any other system in the world. But we also have circumstances that are failing. And I think one of the ways we're failing is we're failing the people. The people who make up the bulk of our population, who are not experiencing their full potential, and they aren't experiencing it because our country hasn't adopted a socio-political system that supports it. Sam, before the break, we were talking about neonatal care and postnatal care and pro-life issues, and I think you brought up off the record, off the air, an interesting issue, which is the current baby formula problem, right?
Yeah, I mean, you see Republicans saying how pro-life they are, and then they don't sign bills to produce more baby formula. It's like, oh, you're only pro-life until it comes out? Like, I don't understand why that was not approved.
Well, I mean, and the pro-life situation, basically that women should be required, regardless of what their intent or desire is, they should be required to bear a child through to birth, ignores the fact that America's the health situation for an expectant mother in the United States is not the best in the world. There are more complications in childbirth in the United States than in most of the developed countries of Europe and in the rest of the world. And similarly, the child morbidity rate, the death rate the birth rate of children is not the best in the world by quite a long shot. At least that's my understanding. So these pro-life people are willing to require that a woman essentially risk her life and risk the life of a child carried all the way through to birth, risk their lives in a health system which will not protect them in the same manner that they could be protected in other health systems. And then, yeah, go ahead.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but these women that tend to have abortions usually are on the less fortunate side. They probably can't afford having a child as is. But if we make them have it, again, it is being put into the healthcare system that the mother, again, cannot afford. And it's just adding on top of all of those financial burdens that already exist, leaving the mother to have to do what, you know, like make sacrifices already that she knew she could not make, and why she would not want to keep. You know what I mean? I don't know. I just
clearly the women who would make a decision not to bear a child are making a decision based on their view of what, how that child would experience life if born, right? And so there is a judgment that's being made that is pessimistic about the quality of life that a child would experience upon birth, that probably to some extent is a self-fulfilling prophecy if that child is required to be born. And furthermore, you know, this life risk that the mother takes, and this risk that the child takes from a health standpoint, is then also this children in America are more likely to be born into poverty than they would be in 38 other countries in the world. So, you know, the child poverty rate is substantial in this country, and children born into poverty in this country do not have the benefit that children born into poverty had in other developed countries. What kind of benefits are that? Well, most developed countries have child daycare available. Most developed countries have health care assured to the children from birth and for all citizens in from birth. And they have education systems that will carry that child forward and give them all the opportunities possible. So poverty doesn't have to be such an awful outcome for a child born into poverty, but it is in the United States. Poverty in the United States creates a very low likelihood, much lower likelihood of success than it does in many other countries. Even though we are a land of opportunity, we have decided not to provide full opportunities to children born into this country, born in this country, based on the political process, which has been unwilling to adopt the same sort of safety net that exists in all the developed countries. And my concern is that when we talk about that safety net, we talk about it without focusing on children, because children are the ones on whom this system has the greatest impact, and it's children that are the thread of the future, and it's children who are not born into a system which gives them opportunity, which actually are the threat to the future as well. So they're the threat of the future and the threat to the future, because forcing women to bear children into an environment in which they will not thrive creates the very sort of situation that now, when I talked earlier on the show about Earl Ingram and the voice of the elders, he is actively trying to work with children who are now 11, 12 years old, who were born into situations in which they were relatively hopeless and which drove them in a direction of being extremely at risk to themselves and to society. And so this is not an uncomplicated problem. It's not as simple as simply saying that all children who are conceived ought to be born. That doesn't end the discussion. That begins the discussion. And I think what's unfortunate is our political process in America right now starts with the starting point of that discussion, which is what should we do about children that are conceived? Should they be required to be carried by the mother through to birth? That's just the beginning of a discussion, which should then basically have all of the meat of discussion be, what do we do with children once they're born? We can talk about that when we return from break. Just a rubber band man. Just a move, just a move, just a move.